What is up, pizzas? Corey Vincent here with another episode of the Video Game Bang. Thanks for joining us. We are, of course, brought to you by NerdReactor.com, and we have an amazing episode for you this evening because Chris Arbogast from Nyko is here. He's talking about the new modular line of peripherals for the current-gen consoles. Current-gen meaning Xbox One and PS4. Aaron Carter joins me as usual, along with David Ng and Jada. We're going to be talking about E3 wrap-up. A lot of the awards are in. People have nominated the best games, and we're going to talk about them, whether we agree. As always, we want to know your opinion, so check us out on Twitter, at Video Game Bang, or hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/VideoGameBangBang. Oh, man, I'm so excited. I can't wait for this week's episode. I think you're going to love it. Hide your kids, hide your wives, because it's...
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real.
You can get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the right now.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
What is up, pizzas? We are back. What do you know? It's Monday. No, it's not Monday. It's Wednesday.
What are you talking about?
It's Thursday when they hear this.
I mean, it's Thursday. Happy. I hope your Thursday's going well. The day before the 4th of July. And we could all reflect on how much we love our great country of America, no matter how much they suck at the game of, I'll call it soccer.
They don't suck at it.
They suck at it.
No, they don't suck at it.
I saw the game. I watched the game.
Okay.
Come on, man.
They don't suck.
Top 16?
Here's the thing.
Yeah, top 16. That's
yeah.
Amazing.
Top 16 out of...
Top 16,
out of,
I mean,
300 plus on. Countries.
Come on.
How can you even...
Wait, how many countries actually enter?
32.
Okay, so it's not out of 300.
No. Well, see, they call it the World Cup final because that's the final 32. But
leading
300,
up,
yeah.
Leading
yeah.
up to before you, before it becomes more. A spectacle of 32,
yeah.
There's 300
there's
countries
a, there's
that
a full
are entered.
Tournament before, yeah. Okay. Just, you guys don't see that stuff.
We don't care about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the World Cup is the final. They call it the World Cup final.
It'll never be football.
It's kind of like our NBA finals, basically.
Yes.
No.
Yes,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
actually,
it's
just, you know, did you see the notes? Do you have the notes? Little spoiler.
I don't read your show notes.
Little spoiler that the World Cup tweets just broke the world record over the NFL.
Well, it's all over Twitter. So.
I'm just saying.
You know, I got invested into the game. I was watching the story of Michael Bradley and the rest of these motley crew of American soccer players.
Motley
and how they
crew.
Had no chance. And then they made it so far and... that they were going to smash Belgium and move on, and then I watched it, was thoroughly upset, disappointed.
You got to look at it realistically.
But then, hold on, then I realized, you know, in after my tears have long gone, I think, it was just fucking soccer, so, oh well.
You have to realize...
Go to back to things that matter.
You have to realize the what goes into that team and why... things were stacked up against them.
If we were the American soccer team, he would be the ball, Aaron Carter.
Wow. Wow.
And he would be the German coach guy. What's his name?
Jurgen Klinsmann?
He'd be Jurgen Klinsmann, David Ng.
Okay. I guess that sounds cool.
That's like the polar opposite.
She would be one of the random girls they show on the screen,
wow.
Which they did a lot, Jada.
I'll take that. I was going to swear to God I was going to walk out if you said I was the goal.
Wow. Oh, wow. Oh, and Aaron being the ball? Yeah,
man,
I'll let you guys connect
terrible.
The dots at
exactly.
home. For those of you playing at home. And I am, of course...
the referee. The fan that ran on the field.
He's yeah. the red flag.
Yes. I'm Germany.
Wow.
So, back to the World Cup. I just want to get those... And yeah, I should mention we're by NerdReactor.com. Check us out. We have articles coming out. Aaron is working on a review for a game called Hooligans.
Hooligans, yeah, on the iOS.
iOS $2.99. But don't buy it yet. Wait for Aaron's review. And then I and myself and my friend David here are working on a review for Guacamelee.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Super Tournament Turbo Edition.
And then I've actually got a review I am in the process of writing for Dynasty Warriors Gundam Reborn.
Gundam. I was going to say, I thought it was Transformers, but yes, you are on a review. So we got a lot of stuff that will be coming out written-wise. Keep your eye on nerdreactor.com for all of that. Also, if you want to get some beta access to Nosgoth, I wrote an article this week, and there's 10 codes to give away. Should be given away by the weekend, so go there. All you have to do is comment and say which side you are on, humans or vampires, and why. And if you're chosen, we'll give you beta access.
There's only one right
answer
on that one.
And this means to comment on the Nerd Reactor site.
Yes, go to nerdreactor.com, find the Nosgoth article, comment, and then you can get a beta key.
Woo!
Moving on to the pressing matters. Aaron Carter and I have mended the fence. If you guys listen to the Weekend Bang, you'll know things got intense.
Very intense.
Jada was there.
I enjoyed it.
She was, you know, smirking the whole time, you know, enjoying it, thoroughly watching the world burn. As
it was
Aaron
fun
and
to
I
listen to.
The podcast is almost over, David. You weren't here.
I believe it.
I mean, someone
I
almost,
know how you get.
Somebody had to call their mother after the after the
I
podcast.
I did. I had to, you know.
You're not playing fair.
Oh, my gosh. It was bull. And it still is bullshit. I don't want people to think things are perfectly okay because they're not, all right?
Things are perfectly okay, everybody.
We've all agreed that the system Cerebro used
was way broken.
Was very odd, and it should never be used again.
In issue
I'm glad David
something,
has my
something,
back.
Or another of X-Men, Cerebro got a virus, and maybe that's...
You're talking about X-Men the movie, number one?
Maybe. So that's probably where...
Aaron, I'm
going
to put you on the spot.
From.
I want you to turn it around. I want you to turn the decision around to a no contest.
I will turn
I don't
it
even
around.
Have to say... You don't have to say I want. I don't even want that. I just want a no contest, and that we can make this... We can get the equalizer down the road.
I will not do that.
What about
just like in soccer,
what
there are variables.
And just like soccer, this game is crooked, evil, and broken.
And everybody loves it.
They're watching the
That's true. That is true. Everybody loves it.
Not Americans. And it's the 4th. The 4th of July is right here.
I saw a meme that said, showed Belgium, and it was like, knew the 4th of July was coming up, so sent your team home.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what? I saw a really funny thing, too. What was his name? Ron Howard.
Tim Howard?
There you go.
Wow.
Tim Howard, phenomenal game, by the way. I'm not going to knock him. That was an amazing performance.
World record holder now.
Yeah, world record holder. It was amazing to watch. He was great. Tim Howard, you said?
Tim Howard. Yes.
I read a tweet on Twitter that said, you know, I don't see, you know, here, never seen Tim Howard and Jesus in the same place. I'm just saying, they both save
wow.
a lot. That was kind of funny, but then the comment under that was like, well, at least Jesus had 11 people he could depend on.
Oh, that's jacked up.
Oh, goodness.
You know what? And you know what? You kind of have to go with that other guy, because he, when I was watching the game, and Tim Howard made 16 saves. It's world record. The next one is 9 saves in a World Cup match. 16 saves. You felt like, what are the other people doing? Like, I saw a sportscaster that was like, the defense should be embarrassed that their goalie had to make that many saves. That should never get that far in a freaking soccer match. And so, yeah, you gotta agree with that dude. Like, what are the rest of you guys doing up there? I still understand, you know, they had to go through a whole bunch of stuff. They went through the worst traveling trip. They played in the worst cities in Brazil with the heat and everything like that. They had the toughest schedule in all of the tournament. So everything was really stacked up against the U.S. So for them to get that far is, to me, incredible. I thought they weren't. I mean, a lot of people in the world said there was no chance for them getting out of the regular group stage. So, yeah, that's why everybody at work that was, you know, oh, they lost. I was like, look, we got out of the group of death. You don't understand how big that is for a non-soccer nation.
Well, glad soccer's over. The real sports are coming soon.
It's never over, sir. It's never over.
So we could put a kibosh on that one and move on to a topic that three of us in this room can say we experienced. Apologies to David.
Justin Bieber.
E3.
Yeah.
Woo!
So E3, we were there. You can check out our coverage. A few weeks ago, we had 3 back-to-back-to-back posts all about the sights, sounds, smells, and atmosphere of an E3. But everybody's starting to finally create a consensus. Their lists have gathered, and now we have an official award winners for E3 2014, and we're going to discuss them a little bit. We're going to have a little fun. And later on in the show, and I'll mention this in the bumper before because it's been like 10 minutes.
You'll
we do
it
have
in
an
the
interview.
Bumper before.
We have a special interview with a representative from Nyko. It is going to be awesome. We're going to be talking about the new modular line of products. Yeah, so stick around for that. But back to E3. And E3 reminded me because that's where we met them. Awards. And we'll see whether we agree with them, because sometimes these lists...
Yeah, it's a big agree or disagree
these
thing.
These lists get kind of convoluted sometimes, you know? Oh, Scott! Oh, my gosh! What's your plan happened?
Yeah, man.
Surprised me every time. You are a bastard, Kyle Maguire. David Ng.
That's so bad.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go with you, because I kind of know the answer, because we've been playing the same game.
We have been.
So I'm going to save you for last.
Okay.
I'm going to move over to Jada, since you've been playing so much.
Yeah, so as everybody knows, Steam Summer Sale just passed by. My grand total was 18 games, 10 DLCs for $90.
Wow.
So,
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff.
That's ridiculous.
Here comes Aaron's pedestal. Let's dust it off.
$5 a game.
Yeah, it was $5 a game, you know, and that basically makes all my DLC free, basically. So been playing a lot of Game Developer Tycoon. So far I'm in the, you know, if anybody out there who hasn't played a tycoon game, the Game Developer Tycoon, you know, you start up making your own games in a basement or your house or whatever you want to call it. And you work your way up to where you're actually developing games for the bigger consoles and stuff. You start out, you just have PC and the Commodore 64, and all the names are changed so they don't have to pay for, you know, licensing rights and stuff like that. Anyways. That one's a blast. I just made it to the PS2 era. My top-selling game right now is Sports. Just literally Sports is what I named it. It's made me like $6 million.
Wow.
So I'm
congrats.
Really only, I know. I
can't believe you're still part
game.
Of this show.
I know.
You're such a success.
I know. I like to give back to the little people.
Oh,
you know?
Wow. I appreciate it.
But I've been playing a lot of that. I also been playing Long Live the Queen, little kind of... point-click, adventure, novel-type game. So much stuff. There's too much stuff. And League, of course. Been
cool.
Playing back
League of Legends. What's your rank at right now?
Gold 5.
Nice.
Yeah. I was on a losing streak. I was plus 20 at one point, minus 15. Now I'm back to like minus 5. So I'm on the uptake on my winning spree. So,
Aaron, Andrew Carter, what you playing?
It's definitely not my name.
He took my middle name and gave it to me.
I've been playing, of course, a little bit of Hooligan. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit when it's not crashing.
Yes. That's for the review.
I'm spoiling his review.
I've actually gone back, and a fan picked up Fallout New Vegas Ultimate Pack for me on Steam.
You know what? You are now becoming exactly what I raged a little online last night about Liz Katz.
Why is that?
I don't know why I follow her. She's like a magnet.
Gotcha. Yeah, she's
yeah.
Because
I just want to see what she's gonna do to piss me off next.
So, well, I don't understand why.
Her birthday's coming up.
Wow! Now you're gonna plug her birthday on the show.
Corey has a secret love.
Stick
for Liz
around
Katz.
For the Liz Katz birthday special edition of them.
That'll be an interesting one. Yeah, but fan purchased Fallout New Vegas for me, and I woke up and was like, "Hey, you know, I heard you like the game. There you go." And I was like,
"That's awesome!
Wow."
So you're okay with that? You didn't feel guilty or anything? Like you owed that person something?
I always feel like I owe everybody, you know, because I blessed them with my life.
Oh my God.
So I feel, you know, hey, you know.
Liz Katz, so her birthday's coming up. And so she posted a thing on Facebook to like all billion of her friends, followers. It says, my birthday's coming up, and a link to her Amazon wish list registry.
Okay.
And says, hey, buy me something on here and I'll send you one of my pictures signed.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I think
nothing wrong with that? No foul?
Nope.
No.
No foul?
You know why? Because you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
like, this is... I literally just had this kind of conversation with a coworker today, but it was about more serious stuff. Like, you know, they were talking politics. And I was like, you don't have to do what, you know, these people are asking you to do. Now, is it wrong, you know? Or not like, is it wrong, but like, is it like...
douchey?
Sketch?
Yeah, like, you know,
immoral.
You're begging, yeah.
Especially because it's half-naked pictures of herself, too. Well,
hey,
so it's like, it's like that makes it that much more just like...
90% of the internet is porn.
That's
true. And people pay for that crap. So,
you're buying
freaking, what, like a, what's on her list? Did you even look on her list?
Yeah, I looked
on
her
list.
I
bet you did. what did she have? Like, what did she
want?
What
did you pick out for her?
I bought her, I mean, I would, if I were, no.
Is it at least geek stuff?
Yes and no. There's a lot of video games.
Okay.
Like full $60 video games to buy Liz Kathy.
Okay.
She had like a fire extinguisher. Just like random things. Like fire her shopping list.
You gotta have a fire
groceries. Rent. Is that what she like? Yeah, pay my rent this way and you'll get a picture, everybody. let her do her thing. That's what I say.
I'm sure
you don't have to, everybody.
Exactly. And I'm sure there's some fanboys out there that are super like just crushing all over him, like, oh my god, I can get a picture of her finally.
Yeah.
And so they're gonna do it. Those are the type of people, that's who she's going for. Jerry. Guaranteed.
Jerry right now,
he's already got like four of her wish list things done. Yeah. It's already paid off.
Amazon card is completely maxed.
I think I'm dating this cat.
She's kinda serious.
I bought her things. Yeah. Moving on.
What have you been playing, Corey?
Thanks for asking. Oh my gosh. This is the only guy in here who's cares.
I'm sorry. Let's go back to archives.
Let's see. The bulk of my time have been going to EA's UFC, game I hate.
So you're playing it why? What is up with you and love-hate relationships?
He is a glutton for punishment, apparently. Terrible.
You know, I love to Masochist. Love and I hate to love hate. Yeah. So I've been playing that game, even though I think the multiplayer is complete garbage. Here's the thing. The gameplay is decent when the playing field is level. When you know it's another human being that you're playing, it seems the pacing, everything's good. The graphics are great. But they just skipped so many details during the career and single player. Like, they got rid of... UFC has pay-per-views. They have Fox Sports 1 cards. They have Fox Sports 2 cards or whatever, and then Fight Pass cards, and they put different levels of talent on each ones. But they got rid of all those shows in this one now. There's only the pay-per-views, which kind of affects the fact of how long it takes to get up the main card. There used to be in the other versions different fight leagues that you get relegated to. Like, you could be in the UFC, but then if you got lost too many fights, you go back to the IFC or whatever fight league they used. And even EA's MMA, which I was using as the measuring stick, had way more. They had like a Japanese dream promotion. They had, so you can fight across the world, fight in tournaments and stuff like that. They got rid of all that
stuff. Is this game on the last gen?
No. It's only next gen.
So then that's what the problem is.
Uh-huh.
This is Madden 06.
Oh, exactly.
That's exactly what this uh-huh. is.
You know what? That is 100% accurate. It's I think that's going to help shape that right there. I forgot all about that. And I was around at that point.
Yeah.
Yep.
And because it's the watered down new version of the console.
First year sports
the new
games.
Console. Yeah.
First year sports games are always the worst.
People are going to rush out and buy them because it's, so they're thinking they're going to get what they previously got, that goodness from the last fully developed, UFC or, Madden or whatever you have at sports game. But no, you're getting the, we need
garbage,
to get this out before the console comes out. Yeah,
it is exactly that. It's the skeleton of what could be a great game, but it's just not.
So in 2 years when they release the next UFC.
They already said they're not going to do it every year.
It's going to be
an every 2 to 3 year game.
They'll give you one more feature. They'll probably throw in the Japanese little thing in there.
Oh my God. And that's what sucks. I know they own, UFC is the biggest company. They own the licenses to the biggest names in the sport and all the footage. They have Pride. They have Strikeforce to draw from. They have, not King of the Cage, but the one that was around here. I'm blanking.
Bum fights?
Like an idiot. Bum fights? I mean,
Prove yourself on the streets.
Yeah. And they didn't even do good. Like, they gave us Bruce Lee, Matt Hughes, Forrest Griffin, and Hoist Gracie.
Those people aren't just normally in it, besides
Bruce
Lee.
The only one I know is Bruce Lee, so.
And I heard Bruce Lee isn't even that great.
I saw him fight.
It was just poorly done. I mean, I want Sakuraba.
See, that is very poor. Because, I mean, that's one thing to put Bruce Lee in there. But then when you really think about it, it's just a skin.
It is. Oh, yeah. All it is. And they threw in the...
Yeah, skin and sound. So, I mean, you get that in everything else.
And then Guacamelee, which me and David have been playing couch co-op over 5 hours.
Yeah, and it's been fun.
Yeah. This is like old school Corey and David stuff going
on. I would be
on.
So frustrated if this was a single player, though.
Yes. You played it, Jada?
Yeah, played it single player.
and beat it. It was hard. I never finished it.
But it's fun. It really challenges you. It's got that Metroidvania style gameplay where you have to revisit old areas with new abilities and stuff like that. Yep. And it really challenges your combo linking skills to really do the damage and survive. So and your timing,
time trials, and those were just brutal.
Yeah. Because what's kind of cool is that in this version that they just released next gen, they put all of the extra content and bundled it seamlessly with the game. So we kind of got sidetracked in a DLC spot where we didn't even have all the abilities quite yet. So we're trying to do time trial missions with not all the puzzle pieces. But the boss battles are so fun. The game is just balanced, what I like about it. It's not like anything gets boring, particularly.
No, it's one of the best side-scrolling style of those games that's come out in a long time. It's definitely one of the best.
Yeah, it keeps you on your toes, so you're not just spamming the same things over and over again. You're forced to use the entire library of moves throughout the game, and it's awesome.
I just rebought it on Steam because I liked it so much.
Yeah, it was on Steam, so I saw it.
Yeah. $3.
So we'll have a full review written on that. It's going to be pretty good. Spoiler. But let's jump back into E3, people, shall we? Did we get David? David, you started Mass Effect 3. How far are you?
I did start Mass Effect 3. Thank you.
Have you not? Had you not played Mass Effect?
I have never played Mass Effect 3 before.
Really? The reason why I'm shocked is I thought you were all Mass Effect. I know.
I loved 1. I played that 5 or 6 times. I didn't like 2 very much, so I only played it twice now. And then so after that, I just didn't pick up a 3 yet.
Was it because of the more action-oriented?
Yes.
Okay, so in 3, what did you choose when they gave you the decision to choose how you want the gameplay to go? They have RPG, story type.
You went full RPG, right?
I don't even remember that choice popping up on the screen.
Really?
Uh-oh.
I thought it was
because when we did the...
He chose the side-scrolling version.
Yeah,
I went through the menu, though, and there was an option where... They said that all your dialogue is pre-chosen for you. And I was just like,
what?
Who would choose
Because that's
this?
Like the action.
That's the action to the where action basically game, you just play the action style of
okay,
Mass
yeah,
Effect 3.
See, I did not want that.
I don't want to make no
decisions. So you saw the, you just don't recognize it. It didn't stick out in your mind.
I ain't making no pussy decision.
Before I even started the game, I went through all the
menus. I want to shoot things.
I'm sure you did the RPG, probably. Okay. That's probably your style. Because I know when I was playing Mass Effect 1, real hardcore, I kept comparing my service medals to your service medals. And I was like, I almost caught up to David in this. Almost did this.
I finished Mass Effect 100%. I got all the achievements. And then 2, I got all the achievements I can. I don't have any of the DLC for it, though. So that's going to hold me back.
If you're listening and you want to buy David some DLC,
go to his wish list.
Cats, go to his wish list.
He'll send you some pictures.
He'll send you some.
I will happily sign pictures for Mass Effect 2 DLC.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move forward. So we're going to talk about the best of E3 before the break when we have our interview. Let's see. Best of E3. Let's just start with the big one. The best of show was given to Evolve, and I agree.
I'll agree as well.
Yeah.
It looks like a lot of fun. I definitely want some hands-on time with it.
Looking back now in the hindsight of time, how do we view Left 4 Dead?
I loved Left 4 Dead. I think it was a big hit at the time when it launched, and it was, had a lot of success in its new, that kind of... run is get through the level as fast as possible, 4-player co-op style,
Initially...
You think it's one of the great games, Aaron?
See, that's what I was going to say. Initially, yes, because it gave me some new experiences, right off the bat. When we first played the demo, that was actually even 4-players co-op, and you just, panicking, didn't know what was going on, and then one of those little tongue things ripped one of your people away, and you're like, oh, crap, that was all cool. But then when you realized that it was kind of... just the same 4 levels, and then you waited for DLC and stuff like that, then I kind of got a little, jaded on it after a little while. And I see the comparisons.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I'm thinking that this game compares, because I had that same cadet glow in my heart when I was playing this game of a new, oh, this is awesome. Then I fear that if they don't continue to add content rapidly, freely or cheaply, I will be out of this very quickly. I mean, I need more monsters. I want more characters with slightly different abilities.
Yeah, I think I kind of want more scenarios. Give me maybe 1 or 2 objectives as well as kill the monster, and then maybe...
So you want more game modes.
Maybe if they... I have one game mode I think would be awesome. It's like, okay, so instead of the four people hunting the monster, the monster's hunting the four people while they're trying to get to their objective or something like
something
that.
Something like that, maybe.
That would be
kind
of cool, you know?
Maybe flip the script, yeah.
Where the trapper can, you know, lay a trap to trap the monster to slow him down so they can advance and things
and then
like
I also want to know, is the setup a little part that how? Because remember how we played, Corey? Mm-hmm. It was very, like, you know,
high
headsets.
Tech.
Yeah, really, you know, the best was kind of given to you right then and there. And, like, it felt like...
The atmosphere.
Yeah, the atmosphere was definitely a part of the feeling of this is, you know, the game of the show. And then it felt kind of arcadey, like we're in an arcade system type of thing, and the guy is giving us instructions, and, you know, we got our groove, even though we had, like... Some
like when you go to
people.
The laser tag, you cannot run, jump, or climb.
Yeah, yeah, it was stuff like that. So
you
I
will
wonder,
not shoot your lasers in your friend's eye.
Are we going to get that same feeling when you take it home and you're in your house and I'm at my house and we're playing co-op like that? Like, is it going to be replicated?
I hope so.
So it means we just have to bring four TVs and four Xboxes
exactly.
all to one place and we'll just land it.
Those headphones and everything.
Yeah.
Let's jump through a few more really fast here. We got best original game, No Man's Sky.
If it was playable.
I agree, in theory, much like how you gave Landmark your thing away. I'm like, yeah, on paper, that sounds really awesome. But still,
Landmark was playable.
But did you play it?
Yes.
Okay, well, it wasn't available for everybody. So, I don't know. Maybe a little too soon.
Yeah, too soon for me.
Evolve also got best console game. Makes sense.
Yeah, I guess.
We were talking about that one. Best handheld mobile game. And what I don't think had an extreme amount of competition, Super Smash Brothers. I think that was a safe choice.
Safe choice. There wasn't too much shown off.
Yeah,
I played a lot of stuff for the Vita, but most of it was like smaller indie titles and stuff they're going to give away for free on the Plus Store.
Yeah. Best hardware peripheral. And this is a big one. I was really interested to see what more people were going to think. It was obviously down between Oculus Rift and the
Morpheus,
and the people chose Oculus.
Yeah, I think, our experience with the Oculus was awesome. I love the Oculus Rift. I can't wait. Cool. I didn't get a chance to try Morpheus, so I want to give that a shot.
I would have loved to try Morpheus, but
we went up to the line, and they were like, that's not the line. The line's around the corner, and it was like this long, freaking line. So.
This is the end of the line, actually.
Yeah.
I was mad. I saw at one point it was really short, but I had to go to the bathroom, so I went to the bathroom when I came back.
Yeah.
Shot out in 5 minutes. I was like... all you people come from.
Best action game also goes to Evolve. So obviously Evolve cleaned up. And
yeah,
when you look at the history of what games clean up in these awards, they're all winners. Like, it's very rare that this many people get behind crappy games. Like Fallout was a game winner. I think Last of Us cleaned up a bunch of awards. Like, and these games ended up being huge games, so this is the future. Best fighting game went to Super Smash for Wii U, of course.
Was there any other ones?
Persona 4 Arena Ultimax was there.
I didn't see that anywhere.
It was in the Atlas booth. It was smaller. But exactly. That was there. Super Street Fighter 4 Ultra was there.
Yeah, you can't win again if you're just
a DLC.
Yeah.
There's a couple other ones. But yeah, Smash was definitely by far the best there.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back after this break. We got our interview coming up with Chris from Nyko. Stick around. There's going to be a lot more of the show. We'll go through more E3 and also 5 game trends from E3 2014 you're going to want to know about. Stick around. Enjoy these messages.
Hey man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Jason Mewes.
And you're listening to the Video Game Bang, which sounds a lot dirtier than it is.
Hello, Super Aaron. Hello, Princess Cory. It's me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia. You guys, number one. Woohoo!
Hey, what's up, dudes? This is Ace from Strife. Hey, head on over to strife.com, grab yourself a beta key for some of our closed testing. And you know what? Tell them Ace sent you. And while you're at it, listen to the Video Game Bang podcast. Peace.
All right, welcome back to the Video Game Bang. Thanks for sticking around. As promised, we have a special guest. He comes from Nyko. His name is Chris Arbogast. So you are with Nyko, probably the biggest third-party gaming peripheral company in the world. Is that accurate? Are you guys really number one?
No. I mean, right now, I would say it's between us and my PDP. We're probably about number two, to be honest, between two and three, between us, PDP, and then PowerA.
But PDP and you guys only really overlap in a couple areas. Cause they're really focusing a lot of their attention to that headphone market, right?
Right. Yeah, it seems like more recently there's been a boom in the headset game market, so quite a few companies are going after that. We don't traditionally make headsets or headphones, and so we haven't played in that space yet, but that seems to be where a lot of people are going for sure.
So for the people who don't know who you are specifically, how long have you been with Nyko? What does your job entail, and how long have you been doing it?
So I've been with Nyko over 10 years now. So I've been here for a little while, and I am the director of marketing and currently overseeing our sales operations as well. So what that means is kind of do everything from PR, website, trade show coordination, and type of advertising, social media, and as well as managing our retail account relationships and overseeing our sales reps and things.
So that is a lot under your plate. Do you get time to play video games yourself these days?
I do, not as much as I would like or as I used to, but yeah, I tend to cram as much as I can on nights and weekends for sure.
So what consoles do you own and what do you like to play?
So right now I've got all the last-gen stuff. I have a PS4, Xbox One, and you know, Vita and 3DS. I haven't got a chance to go to Wii U yet, but pretty much everything else I've got at home. Currently, let's see, I just snagged Far Cry 3 on the Steam summer sale for cheap, so
oh, yeah.
I've been in that lately. I still raid in WoW two nights a week in my guild. And let's see, what else? And some of the PlayStation Plus stuff like Terraria on PS Vita I'm messing around with, as well as I just got an email for Heroes of the Storm Alpha, so I'll be checking out that this weekend. Just downloaded it. I haven't got a chance to check it out yet, but that'll be my long weekend kind of escape is the Heroes of the Storm Alpha.
I love how you say, I dabble in a few games. I own just about everything.
Raiding is no is no weekend thing. That's a
two
huge thing. Yeah.
That's pretty dedicated.
So, and you brought up, you used the term last gen. Is that what we're supposed to be going with now? Because I've heard a lot of conversation going around on what's current gen and what's next gen and what's last gen. Where are we at? Make it official for us.
I tend to like the terminology. I'd say stuff next gen until a console comes out, and then once it's out, it's current gen, and then the previous consoles I refer to as last gen.
So
people still refer to the new consoles as next gen, at least for the first few years, but it's kind of a pet peeve of mine. I always say, you know, current gen and last gen. It's only next gen until it's released.
So
you know what I mean?
Now that we're at the current consoles around the Nyko offices, are you guys calling it current gen, and when you put it on the boxes, it's not the next gen console? Because I think that word sticks around because a lot of people, it's easier to sell, right?
Right, I think, yeah, well, that's terminology. Once these consoles are first announced, they're known as, like, next-gen console systems. And so at least for the first year or two, it's kind of tough to get that moniker off of there. Kind of like some people still call the, you know, consoles made by their prototype names or whatever. So, like, as soon as the generation goes on for a year or two, I think they'll drop off and people won't be saying next-gen once you're, you know, 4 years into the console life cycle anymore.
So the Nyko had a pretty big, nice show at E3. I got to go sit in there and actually get some hands-on with the equipment, and it is very slick. Like I've a lot of the Nyko hardware before, not that it was not slick, but this stuff was nice. The way it matched in with the console itself. Is this a new direction for Nyko? Or was this the mission? Where did the inspiration come from for this?
Well, I assume you're referring to the new modular line of accessories.
Yeah.
And yeah, so thank you for liking that stuff, by the way. Appreciate that feedback. But yeah, so this all culminated, I guess, based upon from last gen. Sorry, use that term again. So last generation, the or 360 and PS3 days, we kind of invented the whole idea of a controller charger. And so the idea of a base where you dock two controllers in and recharge them was kind of invented. We were the first ones to launch that for Wii and then subsequently for 360 and then PS3. And then over time, obviously, competitors come in and there's competition in the marketplace. And so right now, 8 years later, chargers are pretty commonplace. But it was something that was brand new and last generation because the previous gen didn't have wireless controllers for the most part. So there really wasn't any controller chargers. So it's what we think of commonplace of an accessory was actually new for last generation. And so this generation, because of all the competition I was talking about, we wanted to kind of invent something again. We're like, what's different now that chargers are kind of, you know, what headsets are and stuff like that. Now it's become a crowded marketplace. What can we do different, differentiate ourselves and kind of stand out? And our vice president of product development came up with this whole modular idea. And the idea behind this was to make a whole series of accessories that attaches directly to a console. So that being said, it would connect to the console and then provide some sort of function, whether it be charging, cooling, cleaning, something like that. And then based upon that, you'd be able to not only use it by itself or whatever it did, but then add additional modular chargers, and they would all work together in tandem. So you could say, I just want this one item, or connect two or three different modular items, and everything would be cross-compatible and work with each other. And so that was the concept that we announced and showed off at E3, with several products like the modular charge station, modular power station, intercooler, stuff like that.
What kind of feedback have you guys been getting from the modular line? Is it what you guys expected, especially coming off of E3, such a big show, a lot of fresh eyes on it? Has the feedback been mostly constructive, or what are we looking at?
It has been very positive, both from a press and consumer side of things, as well as from the retail side, from the buying perspective. So most people really love the idea because it's unique and they haven't seen anything else like it from other third-party accessory companies, which is great. And then the whole idea of, you know, accessories are great. We love accessories. Obviously, we make our money from selling accessories, but especially last gen with the idea of, you know, Guitar Hero and Wii and all these plastic attachments, people got a little overloaded with having a bunch of these different charging bases and stuff all sitting around their living room, kind of cluttering things up. And so part of the accessory boom kind of went away a bit. And the idea of now taking a lot of those accessories and streamlining them, attaching them directly to the console to where it's all kept nice and neat and organized in a single area, is kind of a novel idea and kind of get out of the last gen accessory explosion, kind of everything's all over the place.
Yeah.
If you're a, you know, gamer in a college dorm room by yourself and put your controllers out and everything else all over the place kind of on display, it's one thing. But if you're like a family person who's, you know, maybe got kids or other people living there and you got a bunch of stuff, typically you want to kind of curtail just the mess of everything and kind of keep everything together in one area and keep it clean. I have a lot of people request that kind of thing, to not have a charger out and then cables and then just kind of mess of accessories. And so the modular line does everything nice and neat, keeps it all in one place. And it's all USB powered too. If it requires power, it's all powered off the console.
In the meeting I was in, what I really liked was during the presentation, it was mentioned that Nyko is really creating products that fulfill a current empty need. Like, they're not just making things to make things. Like, there's no current plans from what was presented for an Xbox One Play and Charge because the existing Xbox One battery was sufficient already. But people were complaining about the PlayStation battery life not being as great. So Nyko came and made, I believe it was 1,000 milliamp, or, I mean, a big boy battery. So extending that to the modular line with the fans, has there been cooling issues going on with the new consoles?
Well, no, right now there's no widespread overheating issue that people had experienced like back at the launch of the Xbox 360. So you want to be upfront about that. Like, there's not an overheating problem or these consoles aren't melting or anything like that. An intercooler over the years since that, the initial like need for them back in the launch of 360 days, have kind of turned into less of a, if you don't have this, your console is going to overheat, into more of kind of an attachment either for situational purposes. So say I bring up the college dorm room again, if you've got two or three consoles, a DVD player, all crammed into a small entertainment center in the corner or something that's not properly ventilated. So you want sort of an insurance policy against creating overheating based upon your situation. It's great for those. Or people just like to kind of mod, trick out their console and kind of, you know, augment the look and stuff like that. Intercooler is great for that as well.
Yeah, so the intercooler for the Xbox One looks like a hot rod. I mean, it's amazing. It looks awesome. How do you guys have ratings yet for the noise factor? Like, is that fan going to turn? Because the Xbox One, what's so great about it for me is that it's so quiet compared to the last ones. Is this new intercooler, does it add a lot of sound?
It will add some noise. Anytime you add an external fan like that, you're going to increase the sound you guys hear. But it shouldn't. It should be more, I would say, effectively. You'll hear an audible increase, but it shouldn't be such that it will be distracting, like a freight train noise or anything like that. It's not like a large industrial fan or anything. But you will have some increase in noise.
Another thing about the PlayStation 4 add-on is I showed this to my friends. And, I get back, I'm excited, I'm showing them. And right away, the jokes start beginning on how the stash spot for the PlayStation 4 would be perfect for, stuff you wouldn't want your parents to find. Was that a conversation that you guys had, or was that, have you guys been getting feedback about that?
It wasn't a conversation like on the, during the design phase that I heard anything like that. Nothing was intentionally provided like for any sort of contraband, obviously, but.
I'd expect some good sales in Southern California is all I'm saying.
Oh, wow.
I mean, obviously, yeah, like some great thing about like when you're augmenting and kind of enhancing your console's experience or whatnot, when you're adding stuff, you can kind of do with it what you want. But obviously, it's meant to hold those cables. But if anything else can fit in there too, if you have any other type of USB adapters.
Yeah, yeah,
or,
yeah. USB
or
adapters.
Charge cord for your cell phone.
Yeah, cords. Like, sure, stuff like that. I'm just kidding. David, you have a question?
Yes. So it must be very difficult for you guys to do all the research and development for these new products, because I know when Microsoft was they were getting ready for their Xbox One release, they did this big announcement for their controller and how they put all this time and research in to tweak like 70 different things that they were changing from the Xbox 360. So how do you guys go about that kind of research, and does that take a lot of your time?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's mostly of, I would say, like I went over the game stuff I like to play and everything, and I kind of share that with a lot of people here. Most of us here are younger, 20s and 30s. We all play games and things, and so rather than spending a ton of money on research, like a focus group and things, it's nice. The thing about Nyko is that we're all made up of like kind of that young core gamer demographic, and so we put a lot of what we play and the things and issues that we find while we're playing and something that we would like to add in our own experience into the products we make and things of that nature. And regardless of department, not just product dev here, a lot of people can contribute and we'll have product brainstorm meetings. And so one of the best things about what we do over here is most of us have consoles in our office and we'll get together, especially around a new console launch, like when Xbox One or PS4 is coming out. And even before it comes out, we will sit down and we'll stream the press conferences. We'll look at all the feature lists, specs, stuff like that, and start automatically brainstorming, having meetings. And then once it's out, we'll get together and play and bring in those kind of creative suggestions and things. And all that stuff goes into our products.
Nice.
So yes, we do the traditional side of things, but it's also very much a community type of involvement of, us playing and kind of experiencing it.
So you guys are your own focus groups and your test on like your audience.
Right, exactly.
Nice.
On the Nintendo front, what about the, we have the gamepad that's out for them with the Wii U. Has Nyko looked into anything like that? Like trying to make their own, I guess, version of it? Or does Nintendo just have that locked?
You're talking about the actual gamepad, not the Pro Controller, correct?
Yeah, the gamepad, not the touchscreen one, the one with the touchscreen.
Right. Because obviously we have our own Pro Controller alternative. Mm-hmm. We've looked at it sometimes with certain peripherals, like with the Kinect itself or the Move controller, and down with the gamepad. If there are certain controllers that are very intricate and have a bunch of technology in them, mm-hmm. if it gets to the point where it's so expensive to reproduce, to where we can't also offer a value. That's one thing you mentioned before about how we always try to find a need and then also augment your features or add something else that's unique and innovative to it. That's half of what we do. Also, the other part is providing a value to the consumer. And it's just a segment that goes along with third-party accessories that most people usually expect a price break when you buy a third-party versus first-party. So we want to add those extra features and include that stuff when we make accessories. But if we can't usually also offer some type of value alongside of it in a price break or a reduction in cost, sometimes it gets tough for us to be able to make accessories and offer them. Like I say, we don't do a ton of like premium over the top, super high end controller, because it's not usually our market or demographic. So in the case of the gamepad, to answer your question, if we can do it in a manner where we can still offer value, we certainly look into it. I know we've had looked into the past. Right now, especially in the beginning stages of the console, if it's a very intricate controller like that, it's tough for us to kind of cost down and provide a controller that's significant reduction in cost and also add all those features and stuff into it that we want to augment. So right now, something we're looking into, but nothing planned in the immediate future.
But nothing's off limits, though, right? For like all the consoles, like, you know, you guys always, you know, keep possibilities open for any of the peripherals?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, because our core business that you've seen, it's, you know, normal controllers, chargers, and coolers. But every once in a while, we'll come up with stuff that's kind of off the wall, like a Zoom or, you know, Wormline type stuff, where it's, you know, completely different than what we've done before. Anytime we can sneak in there and add a little innovation, we're down for it.
I have an idea for you, and I don't know if it's possible, and I won't even ask for royalties. Wow. If it's possible. Have you guys ever tried to make an Xbox controller that was in the exact shape of a PlayStation controller, or vice versa?
Yes, we have. Well, it's usually on the vice versa side. So we have done a Raven wireless controller, and even I think Zero back in the day as well, a couple controllers for the PlayStation that are in the Xbox layout.
Beautiful.
So we have made those before. I don't think I can recall us doing an Xbox controller in the PlayStation layout.
Yeah, no one would want that. Honestly, nobody would want that.
Wow.
Do you have a preference? What's your brand? Do you like Xbox or are you a PlayStation guy?
Well, like I said, I have both. So I'm usually, I used to be a diehard Nintendo fan back in the day. Before I actually got my job here, I was like Nintendo hardcore fanboy. Like, would never owned any other system besides Nintendo, that kind of thing. But then once I got into the, you know, actually working in the industry, then now I own all consoles just for, you know, expand my horizons and also for research purposes, research in quotes. I would say last gen, I probably played more games on Xbox than in PlayStation. This gen, I've probably played, with the advent of PlayStation Plus, a little more games on PS4 as far as number of games, but number of hours, probably on Xbox at this point, just because I only really played Titanfall and Call of Duty.
I knew when we started this interview that I liked you. I knew it. here's a question, too, about the current gen. And the actually going into next gen, possibly with peripherals like Oculus coming out, is Nyko having anything? Are you guys gonna be coming out with like a cozy or, you know, a headband that goes with the Oculus, or what does this excite you guys, this new virtual reality?
It definitely does, because we view it as a, you know, another platform that we can potentially enhance or add accessories to. So we have an Oculus Dev Kit 1 here, which we've all played with, kind of messed around with, and getting some ideas. We had a couple brainstorm meetings about it. So, I mean, obviously nothing to officially announce or talk about right now, but it definitely is something that's on our radar and we're looking into for sure.
Yeah, so that seems exciting. And then you were at E3, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had a chance to look around and view everything. What we talked about this earlier in the show, some of the awards. What are you most excited about? What wowed you?
Let's see. Fortunately, I didn't get a chance to make it over to South Hall, because I'm busy with meetings all the time. But in West Hall, I ran through like Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo's booths. I'm excited to finally pick up a Wii U, just because the Zelda trailer I thought was amazing. And like I said, I'm an old school Nintendo fanboy. So Smash Bros., of course, and the Mario Maker looked kind of cool. Like looking to dump some time into that. As far as other big AAA titles, I think the biggest games for me are Evolve and Destiny.
Yes,
a couple times looking forward to. On the smaller indie side, what was it? Ori looked pretty cool, and also what was it? Cuphead, or The Adventures of Cuphead?
Oh yeah,
looks like fantastic old school. Because I grew up with the watching the Disney Channel and those old Disney cartoon animations, and that thing looked amazing as far as the actual animation of it. So those are the ones that really stood out. Some of those titles to me kind of grabbed my attention.
All right, everybody. So his name is Chris Arbogast, and he is with Nyko, and he is representing the modular line of equipment coming out for the current-gen consoles. I got to get used to saying that. What else you got? So we talked about the big ones. We talked about the intercooler for the Xbox, the hot rod-looking one, the intercooler for the PlayStation 4. You have a battery pack for the Xbox and a new controller for the Xbox. Is this something that the market's been demanding, this old school DVD remote for the Xbox One?
Oh, you're talking about the media remote?
Yeah.
So that is, well, it's essentially it's just a remote to control video playback. So it'll handle, you can turn the console on and off with it, all sorts of DVD, Blu-ray, the normal disc-based format playback, as well as any streaming content. So Netflix, Hulu, all of that, and menu navigation. And as long as you have Kinect, you can control your cable channels and stuff as well.
Oh, cool.
So it's just it's an entry-level price point, easy to use remote, so it'll be retail for $14.99. And we've just seen a need for, as these consoles become more media boxes as well, for not necessarily the core gamer who's in the house who is fine with using a controller, but, you know, let's say spouses, parents, grandparents, that kind of stuff, other kids who aren't as familiar with controlling a box with a you know, Xbox One or PlayStation controller, but who want something that's more like familiar to them as in their normal remote to play back Netflix or watch a DVD on. And so that's the idea behind the media remote.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know why anybody would need that media remote when those voice commands work so perfectly all the time.
Right, right. Definitely have, I've had my fair share of ups and downs with the voice commands. Either, usually it works okay for me, but my wife, for whatever reason, it doesn't pick up the female voice as well. Uh-oh. So she'll ask her to do something, it'll ignore her, I'll ask her the same thing, and then it'll comply to me.
But, yeah.
You heard it here, the Xbox is sexist.
Well, thank you so much. Tell people where they can learn more about the Nyko line of products.
Sure. You can visit our website, which is nyko.com and nyko.com. Or, of course, we're on Facebook, just refer to Nyko Facebook, or on Twitter, it's at Nyko Tech, NYKOTECH. So any one of those places, you can hit us up, follow us, like us, and we have a YouTube channel as well.
Oh, YouTube channel. Do you guys do cool stuff on Twitter, giveaways and whatnot?
Yeah, we do giveaways from time to time, reach out, do kind of cross-promotions to some of our partners and stuff there, too. As well as announce new stuff and occasionally just chit chat about other industry stuff going on too. So it's not always just buy this stuff. It's sometimes we're, you know, just chatting about games in general too.
Cool. All right, Chris, thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Hey, I'm really glad you guys had me on, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Anytime you want to announce that big new Nintendo tablet peripheral or the new Kinect or the Nyko Presents Oculus Rift, you let us know.
Will do.
All right, that was Chris Arbogast from Nyko. And by the way, all of the peripherals that we spoke about, the modular line, everything is going to be available before Christmas, so keep your eye out for that. Jada, you were very quiet during that interview.
I didn't really have much to say, but actually I was pleasantly surprised by what I heard.
They're very good. That is awesomely bullshit, but in the most awesome way. So we're going to move on. We were talking about E3.
Liz Katz?
Oh. No. You want to talk about Liz Katz a little bit more?
Well, I was looking at her Liz Katz.
You know,
she has no Nyko
we're
products
doing,
on her.
We're doing a Nyko interview. Probably the biggest interview we've ever done, honestly. And Aaron really? Is looking at Liz Katz's birthday wish list.
Yeah, you got to see what to get her.
Okay.
She has shampoo conditioner on there.
God. She really did just go through her grocery list.
She kind of did, yeah. She has it well on. I'm sorry. She has a combination carbon monoxide and smoke alarm on her list.
See, I think it's just because maybe
that's
I'm just jealous.
Surprise.
I'm just
you
really jealous.
No,
maybe she's building
is
a like basement like hideout or whatnot.
This is like everyday stuff. I'm not mad at her at all. Like 100%.
That's
thing.
Purely me.
Command stickers.
I'd love to have her on the show.
Oil, like,
I'd love to talk to her.
This is awesome.
So let's
what
see.
Else won awards at E3?
Thank yeah. you, David. Wow, someone is really going to be my best friend.
I'm just saying. Wow, you're still in the candidacy for that.
Well, I was
going to
say, apparently you lost it at one point.
Wow. I keep, whoa. You know, my wife thinks she's my best friend. I mean,
thinks she's your best. Wow, geez.
I got my.
She doesn't listen to the show.
I got friendship in different area codes. All right, so we got. Best sports game went to NHL 15. Good. I'm just glad it didn't go to EA's UFC.
It should have went to FIFA.
No. No.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I didn't really see too much on
Although,
FIFA 15.
I'll
so.
Admit, watching that soccer really made me hanker to play some FIFA, and I'm down to get on that later.
Aaron, I'm trying to see if I want to get 15.
Let's see. Best social casual family game, Mario Maker. I didn't get a chance to actually play this. I, you know, breathed on some guy's shoulder who was playing it.
Wow. It looked, pretty sure he appreciated that.
I had gum. But it seemed interesting.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
It's that thing. Let the media go crazy.
Yep. We're going to see some crazy, crazy level design. You're going to have those
some
impossible
stupid
levels.
Hard stuff. Yeah,
yep,
it's
going to
be
see those
Dark
impossible
Souls
ones.
Meets Mario.
1001.
And then you're going to have the super easy levels where you just run in a line.
Yep, yeah. Pretty much. Just coins everywhere. Just grab as many coins as you Sonic. Can.
Let's see. Is Sonic in that?
I don't think Mario Maker?
No. Yeah.
No.
Probably not.
That would be awesome. Because Spore, they, you know, they threw Conker in there. So you, or not Spore. Did I say Spore?
You did. Say
wow, Spore is in my head somewhere. Somebody you guys remember Spore?
I remember someone trying to talk me into buying that.
Wow, I think that's me.
It was supposed to be the last game to be ever created.
Yeah.
It was supposed to have everything.
Yep. Not Spore, Spark.
Oh, you're talking about Spark.
Project Spark.
Oh, yeah. Project Spark.
They added Conker to that game. Let's see. And best strategy game, which I'm really excited about playing, Civilization Beyond Earth.
Yeah. You skipped my favorite. Best role-playing game.
What got it?
Dragon Age Inquisition.
Dragon Age
which
Inquisition
looks awesome.
Does look amazing. Looks- and especially, it's supposed to be like 10 times the scale of...
It's
if it's no multiplayer.
It's still single player
then,
only.
Yeah.
I know, you're totally out.
Only because, it looks... like it's suited for multiplayer. When they showed them all fighting that dragon,
until
every single BioWare RPG looks like it's suited for multiplayer.
But they can do it.
Oh no, they could. But that's
just
not
like
their
they
focus.
Did number 3 for Mass Effect.
Yeah, one is still my favorite.
And that's understandable. But that's you, Gondo. Like that's you.
Gondo sets the rule.
Jerry's bought the game and has never played any of the single player.
I feel like I have to unfriend him.
He only played the multiplayer, and he played the same amount of time as you would play a single player. Like, that's crazy. And
the amount of time that I would play a single player?
Yes. Check out his time. I guarantee you, because he played it more than we played the multiplayer with him. He played by himself most of the time, which is crazy, because it's, you know, multiplayer. But go check his time, and I guarantee you.
He's sitting there just killing bots by himself.
Well, Dragon Age, did you play too?
I didn't get to play it, but I watched the 35-minute developer walkthrough. Right
I played
I'm
it.
I'm just curious. Okay, you played too.
Yes,
did you play one?
Yes.
Oh, did I play the other Dragon Age? I did play the other ones, yes.
So, okay. So, yeah, Dragon Age 2. I should have worded that a little bit better. So, was I the only one who was a little disappointed with Dragon Age 2?
I hated 2.
Okay, good.
No.
2 was was way worse.
I was on the other end of that.
So limited. You couldn't
control your whole team.
You couldn't control your team. You couldn't create your character, really. You never left your base camp other than for like a mission, like in instances, basically.
It seemed like it was on rails.
Yeah.
It was definitely linear.
And it was a button masher. It played like Dynasty Warriors.
RPG.
I do not need Dynasty Warriors in my Dragon Age.
I never called it an RPG.
They put Dynasty Warriors in my Dragon Age. I think they put Dragon Age in my Dynasty Warriors.
I like the game. I think that, because I only beat that one. I did not beat part 1.
Oh, 1 was so good.
Because 1, now mind you, I played 1 way after it was released, like years after.
Yeah, me too.
So the graphics were terrible to me. But that never is a deterrent from video games for me. It was the story, basically, for me that kind of killed the whole thing.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We've talked about this. And I'll give you that. That is a very interesting quandary to be put in. But that's video games.
Not all stories
when you're going up against Fallout, in my opinion. And
Aaron basically didn't like that. You remember when you become the Grey Warden, and that guy takes the potion, dies, and the other guy freaks out and tries to run away, and the Grey Warden kills him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like that.
Didn't like that at all.
He thought that took him completely out of immersion.
You didn't like
from
the fact
game.
That he killed
completely.
Somebody for being a coward.
Yeah, I didn't like the fact that the guy was like,
he's like, I got a kid, and
I got
like,
a wife and kid.
Yeah,
I'm not
true.
About to, you know, drink this thing
true.
And then die. You know,
well, you already
let me bounce.
I mean, you already went through all the other initiation rites, and at this point, like, why, like,
with him leaving, what would that cause?
They're secret kids,
secrets.
Now, man.
What secrets, people?
You never joined a frat.
What secret? I played.
What frats are you in?
I played way more after that too, just to see, you know, maybe, hey, you know, something. He had no secrets. He just went through an initiation, and not even like full. All we did the initiation was go kill some stuff. And bring back the dragon's blood or whatever
you,
that stuff was.
That's right. It's a blood family.
That's
it. You don't leave the family.
So he wasn't in the family yet. He wasn't even in the family yet.
And he wasn't going to leave.
Yeah, clearly. And so when I saw that, I was like, that takes totally away from my moral decisions. Like, if I saw that happen in Fallout, I'm not rolling with the dude. I'm probably going to shoot him right then and there. And, you know, karma either will go down or up or, you know.
Whatever. You don't
whatever.
Care.
Whatever, yeah. But that'll be my decision.
You wanted the option.
Before, when in that situation, it was like, nah, dude ran. I killed him. You're drinking the blood now. All right, I guess. Now, if the game split off and was like, no, I just saw what you did. I'm not doing that. And then I fight these guys. And then it goes into a kind of a weird storyline like that where it branches. then I'm all for the Dragon Age. But I didn't like the controls type of thing. That felt to me like it was a PC.
It is definitely a PC game for sure.
So the combat system, that also took me out of it. So whenever I played Dragon Age 2, it's more of an action type of game. It was the first time I played like an action mage character, where it's like you're kind of button mashing, but you're a mage and you're doing magical abilities. I was all down for that. And I played the whole thing, side quests. I think I even got the DLC for it and actually played through that as well.
Do we know what they're doing on this new one?
I don't know. It looks like, what's the game that Capcom made? With the dragon takes your heart out.
Oh, you're talking about Dragon's Dogma.
Dragon's Dogma. It looked like that to me, but I don't know how the controls are.
The combat and the controls is supposed to be a mixture between 1 and 2, so it's a little bit faster paced, but... Mm-hmm.
You can go back to controlling your whole team,
and also you can rotate between members, so you can take control over them. They have the Commander mode, which was the PC originally a PC exclusive, where you can basically plan out a whole battlefield. You walk into this room, you see there's 8 guys over here and there's 2 choke points here. You can set your tanks here, your mages back here to cast a spell, and you do this all while it's paused. Playing
Dungeons and Dragons then.
Yeah, you set it while it's all paused, and then if you want, you can just watch it in commander mode. You can press play and it'll do all the action, or you can jump into one of the characters and start controlling them and rotate between them during the fight.
That was the most intimidating part about getting into the first Dragon Age, when a friend recommended it to me I was watching him play and I liked it, so I went and got it. But seeing him, he would put a bunch of his time into just setting up how his characters are going to react during the fights, mm-hmm. so that he can just go in autopilot, essentially. He can control his main character. But he already preset his battle tactics for his characters, so he knows, he told them at what percentage to use their potions, and at what percentage should they use this attack or use this buff.
Yeah,
and it was really tactical.
Yeah, I like it. They stole it from Final Fantasy XII. It was their Gambit system or whatnot. They had it in Final Fantasy.
It takes me out of the game. I want to be in the thick of it. And I understand people like, I want to control my NPC characters because they just get killed off, you know, if they don't do the right thing.
Yeah.
But to me, I'd rather have a live person at my side fighting this giant dragon, and us both be immersed in the same type of world, than just an NPC that I don't really care about. I've never cared about any of my group, like any of those type of games. If they get killed off, they just get killed off.
That's the thing about Dragon Age, I think, too. Dragon Age, like when you look at the fandom of it, people love the characters. Mm-hmm. Your party characters, they did such a good job. Kind of like Knights of the Old Republic did on some of their characters, not all of them, but more so in this game, like, you really got attached to some of these characters, and it's really great. But we got to move on, because we were talking about the 5 trends from E3, and this is kind of broad scope things. These are, this is going to represent the future of games, but it helps to forecast what trends will start to take over this holiday and beyond. Here's a look at 5 key video game trends from this year's show. And this is interesting. Number 1, game worlds are getting much bigger.
That's very much true, just from what we were talking about with Dragon Age.
Dragon Age, 10 times the scale.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I think that's, you know, that should be a natural progression for our games. I mean, you go back to our old school Pac-Man, you know, one map, you know, and then, like, they would alter the pathways, and that was it. You know,
this is irritating, kind of, because I thought this should have been, it shouldn't even be the few, it should be the now of video games.
You feel it should be
Xbox 360. Yeah, when Xbox 360 came out and PS3 came out and Elder Scrolls Oblivion came out, was like, the game scope changer. And I was like, okay, so here's the mark.
Yeah.
Everything should be, you know,
that size. No, that I agree. Size. And but that was early in the 360 launch. It was like early. 2000, what, very 8, early. 9?
Yeah. And it just, nothing ever. You would get sparks maybe once or twice. Mass Effect series.
Yeah. My problem with the Mass Effect, though, kind of thing, is that I have to swap discs.
That's why you get it on PlayStation.
So I'm excited for the new, the current gen, because with the bigger disc sizes, you don't have to do things like that. You won't get interrupted.
I've seen people calling it the new gen, basically, because it's the new generation. It's not it's next
current.
Gen.
It's current.
It's current.
So, well, I mean,
we
it's
just
current,
had it actually.
Yeah,
officially,
say,
if you were listening to this, if you were listening during our interview that you were sitting right here for.
Sorry, Clash of Clans was too important.
Yeah, it's current gen. I mean, I almost wanted to disagree with them. Actually, I usually only consider current gen when it's just when everybody has it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's in enough homes.
That'll
yet.
Be never.
Well, that's why I say new gen. And, you know, it's a new generation. That's why I saw that coin, that term coined or whatnot, and I kind of like it.
We got to jump forward here. Yeah. Virtual reality's second act. Last year, the VR stage belonged to Oculus. Now it has company with Project Morpheus. There are more games creeping into the surface, so this is a very exciting time for the new peripheral.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it.
I'm excited, yeah.
I want to see where it's going. I don't know if I want all of my games to be like that.
No, yeah, I hope it's not a pandemic, but it's got to be extra bonus thing.
Aaron.
Yeah.
Treadmill, bodysuit, Oculus, Fallout.
Way too much. Just give me the holodeck, and then I will be very much into it. But until then, to me, it's just going to be a Guitar Hero thing. It's going to blow up. It'll be...
This time next year, Aaron will be sitting in his room with a virtual reality set's goal line at the World Cup.
Yeah, that's
well,
for that's
in 3 years.
Yeah, in 3 years. But that's
No. They're gonna bring it back.
They're gonna
next
make it
year.
Yeah.
Just for the Oculus. It's gonna be Oculus Rift
exclusive.
That's for sports. You know, if you watch a UFC game or a UFC match or, you know, a basketball match, but for video games,
actually
to me,
experiencing it like we did, that it brings that to life. Like how we were able to in that game turn around full scope to see who's behind
it's
you.
It's very immersive, very very
so
immersive.
Using that in a live sports setting, I want it now.
Like that's the to me the huge selling point, which was just stupid, is whenever you got over the little activation pad and then the little particles just rose up and you like look down and around you and it's just like you're in some type of movie or
you're
something like that. Yeah,
it's awesome.
I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome. Moving right along, number three. The rise of toy game hybrids. So retailers will be clearing shelf space for more video games that feature compatible toys. Nintendo's joining with its Amiibo. I got to see the Skylanders. Disney Infinity has something coming out. So, I mean, this is exciting, I guess, if you have children.
I'm excited for Amiibo. I'm a Nintendo fan. So.
Or if you're a child.
This is wow.
The only thing that turns me off about this is the price.
Yeah. I want to see what the extra Amiibo characters and cost. Hopefully they're no more than $10 a piece for Nintendo. But they're like, I don't know if you guys looked at them up close in the glass case in the Nintendo's booth. They're really nice quality. So
This is to me, another peripheral that's got like a 3-year lifespan.
See, the only thing I would disagree with that is the fact that Nintendo built that into their controller for the Wii U specifically.
This is why I think it's... I should have rephrased it. It has a 3-year lifespan before it changes into something else. Because I like Nintendo's idea where they took, you know, what was the other one called?
The Pokemon Rumble?
No. The other one that's not Nintendo. That you put the toys on.
The Skylanders.
Oh, the Activision.
So they took that and you can hold stats on your characters. Uh-huh. Like, it's yours.
Yeah.
You know, it's your personal thing. So I think the next evolution step, well, for another company, maybe not Nintendo, but is to take something that you have on you all the time and it's yours. So when you go over to, when David comes over and plays Guacamole, he has his...
It's Guacamole.
Whatever. He has his wristband or something like that. And then boom, he scans it in or something like that. And all his information instantly is just
all
there.
When you used to go to your friend's house and had to bring your memory card.
Yeah, but instead, let's make it something that's every day. That's why
make
I said
fun.
Wristband or something like that.
No, I can see that.
Recognizes your face and logs you in.
Yeah, connect.
That's cool, yeah. But I'm talking about something that's universal now. So it goes for everybody, every
that
console.
Anybody can take
with
them.
We got two more. So the next one is better with friends. For most players, video games are already a highly social experience, but those opportunities have increased with the inclusion of more cooperative game modes in titles such as Assassin's Creed, the driving game The Crew, and Yoshi's Woolly World. I hope they don't go ham sandwich with this. I'd like them to keep some
single players there.
Bit of personality. Like,
and the thing is, you can do both. I don't understand why. This has been a heated discussion.
It might be
a weekend bang actually discussion.
It really depends on the game.
See, that's why this is going to
horror
be
horror games. Horror games are
yes,
not meant.
This is why this is going to be a weekend bang discussion because
right, so
I can
stay
go.
Tuned for that.
Yeah,
I can go
point.
A
yeah.
long way on that.
We're
going
to jump into the last one. Wait until 2015. There are still plenty of titles coming out this year, including Evolve, Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor, and Battlefield Hardline. That's gonna be my new game.
Is it plugging your own stuff now? Is that what we do?
Yep.
Battleline Hardline. Corey Vision.
But it appears the majority of the big E3 games, such as Star Wars, Uncharted, looks like they won't arrive till next year. So the big trend is wait.
Yeah, that's not That's always been a trend, though. So, yeah. I mean,
next year it's going to be better. Let's see. Yeah, I thought that was a great show, guys.
Yep.
You guys satisfied?
Yes. Yeah, I got, as long as I get ideas from anything, I'm always satisfied.
Yeah. We want to thank Nyko, specifically Chris, for showing up, giving us some insider info. Check out the modular line of Nyko next gen, current gen peripherals.
Special shout out to John Wynn.
Happy birthday, John. I was going to say it. Baron beat me to the punch.
For Corey, Aaron, Jada, and David, this has been Video Game Bang. Go bang yourself.
Let me bang,
I
man.
Do let you bang. Hey.
Let me bang again, man.
I let you bang.
What are we doing,
man? I let you bang.
Let me bang again.
Let me bang.
Let you bang.
Now go fuck yourselves.